Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Business Game Changers, this is part two of my interview with Azili Danto. This is going to be more specific on the child trafficking, the pornography, what they're doing in Haiti, and how the Clintons and the different child pedophilia networks are involved in the symbols and things, and also how you can help out, what to avoid, what to look for, so that you can, when you decide to use your resources to help Haiti, that you're actually giving the places and helping out. You can directly help out Azili, but also helping out places that are actually going to help the Haitian people and not help the criminals that are taking advantage of poor people in other countries and people that don't have a lot to defend themselves and are being taken advantage of. If you like these shows that I'm doing, I'm hoping that you can help support the program. Maybe $1 a month, $2 a month. At $1 a month, you can get my first two ebooks for free. At $2 a month, I'm going to be throwing in my third ebook for free as well. And that's going to be coming out in a couple months here. Hopefully by September, it should be out mid-September. So you can go to patreon.com, Sarah Westall, and support the program. So I hope you enjoy these. So let's get back into my interview now with Azili Danto. Well, let's dive deeper now into the crimes in Haiti, starting with organ trafficking. Why is Haiti a prime target for this activity?
Because we're helpless. We don't have a colonial father like the rest of the 15 European, there's 15 Caribbean nations, and each of them are, Jamaica is still a property or a commonwealth of the Queen. Trinidad is still, and plus, the world powers have come to Haiti for a reason. Remember, I know Americans don't understand this because it's so irrational. I didn't understand it either because it's so irrational. And I was taught in school that, educated people were scientific and rational. But there's this hatred for Haiti from France, who we beat in combat, Spain, who we beat in combat, and Britain, who we beat in combat. There's a hatred.
You're just kind of a sitting duck. I think that not having a nation, a large nation supporting you, you're pretty.
What you have to understand is at work. I think the first time that they started all this stuff, sex trafficking, sex slavery, all of that, it's with the Catholic Church in Haiti. Just like it's with the Catholic Church all over Africa. If your audience knows anything about sexual abuse, sorts of scars people forever, especially a child. It takes your innocence away. So this is how you have to look at the Haitian oligarchy. The Haitian oligarchy are these light-skinned children that these priests, a lot of them are their children. So there's so various levels. So we'll start in 1870, after all this happened and Haiti got its independence, one of our president allowed the Catholic Church to come back as our educators. And so they became our educators. French became our national language. Catholicism became our national. And they brought in the Jesuits. And I think they call them the father. Le Père something, the Holy Ghost Fathers. I think the first school that started was 1865, and it was the Holy Ghost Fathers, and it was Collège Saint-Martial. They have a group of Jesuit priests that call Frères l'Instruction Chrétienne, like the brothers of Christian education. Louis Gonzague is the school that every Haitian dictator Matéli went to. Okay, these are the schools that educate our various elites. What I have learned because of my work and because these people come to me on the side is that many of these children are abused when they're little by these priests.
When you say little, how little?
Collège Saint Martial, I think it's like 14 years from elementary to like an associate's degree it goes. So they do their education at these levels, right? So they go to these schools. These schools are run by these priests, these French priests, these folks, priests. I just told you the three of
them,
right?
So they start abusing these children when they're in elementary school.
That's right. Okay. That's right. I just to do this interview, I spoke to one, to a person, a very good person today. And he told me, I said, listen, it's been a while since I've had this conversation, and I'm going to have this conversation today. Could you tell me what your experience was at St. Louis Gonzague and the Collège Saint Martial? He says, I have never said this to not even my father. I'm going to tell you, there was a priest who constantly was abusing me when I was a child. And he says, I wasn't the only one. So if any of you have looked at the MK Ultra program, where the CIA mind controls folks, one of the ways of mind control is by sexual abuse. So today I have a deeper understanding of the assimilated Negroes in Haiti, the ones that do the coup d'etats, because part of that is sort of like a Stockholm syndrome. Because their parents went to those schools. Those schools are only for certain class of people, not the masses. The masses, they send to these orphanages of Catholic Relief Services orphanages, World Vision, CARE, UNICEF.
And so the elite send their lighter skinned people to special schools, and they're sexually and physically or sexually abused, and it's like the MK Ultra program. And the masses go to orphanages, and what happens to the masses?
Yeah, the masses go to, well, now you have to understand that USAID wasn't a factor. Yes, USAID and foreign aid wasn't a factor until the 1970s in Haiti. So that orphanage hoax has only been happening since then, right? But the elites, that's been happening since 1865, when Collège Saint Martial started, right? So these priests, what happens is that, like, let's say Bridgeport Diocese, okay, because I've dealt with them with the Douglas Prelitz case. Let's say, you know, a priest, I'll give you an example because it happened to me. Let's say a priest has been found in Indiana, to have molested children. And they can't move them around anymore. They'll send them to Haiti or Africa. And then what the hell he wants to do.
And then once they're in Haiti, they just let them go? Here you go.
Yeah. Okay. Now, those are the folks that are doing the orphanages thing, because the Catholic stuff is very hierarchical, right? They tell these Haitian children, males, this is all males, they tell these Haitian males that if you want to be a friar, if you want to be, you know, one of us, you know, and they, you have to deal with this. And so for the longest time, until Duvalier, none of the Catholic priests that were trained in Haiti, they were the hierarchy of the Catholic was always these white priests. It wasn't until Duvalier came into office that he changed it, and then you have like darker skinned kids allowed to get into school. That's why, you know, so that came in 1957. But before, it was all these, they would not really let, you know, unless you're very powerful black person, it was more the light skinned folks, and no Haitian, no matter what color, was allowed to be a priest in Haiti. But now they have them as part of the priesthood. And of course, you know, I was representing Aristide, and he was a former priest, and I've represented a lot of priests. So I was able to just get inside information about a lot of this stuff. So the Catholic pedestals, essentially, it's like a code of silence. Because this, to go to St. Louis Gonzaga, to go to these schools, are, it's like going to Harvard, right? Because if you go to St. Louis Gonzaga, right, it's a Jesuit school. It has Jesuit schools like, you know, it has Columbia. A lot of Haitians have gone to Columbia University coming from these schools. So if you can, and I had this conversation today. They take it because it's a way to get an education. It's a way to move. And then they end up getting married and having children, but that scar is always there. And what you also have to understand about this scar is that it's cyclical. It's generational. What you learn as a child, sometimes you practice on your children. So that's why that whole LGBT thing has a different color for Black people. So another layer is the rape of women by the priest in Haiti. I was told today, one priest, I'm told, in the area of Lekai has at least 74 children scattered around that zone. If you are a poor Haitian person and you can't pay for your child to be baptized, and they tell you, you know, if your child don't get baptized, you're going to go to hell, then either you sleep with the priest, or there's a place they told me today in the north where one of the priests owns most of that land, because he gets a piece of tract of land in exchange for doing baptism, funerals, and marriages. So Collège Séminaire Saint-Michel is, like I said, is one of those spaces. I did speak to one person who said to me that only one of the priests there tried to molest him, that he had like 10 other teachers and nothing like that ever happened to him. Because I want to make that point, because he said that to me. And they're run by, like I said, the Holy Ghost Fathers. And then you have St. Louis Gonzaga. So if they're not the priests that have a fetish for Black boys like this, they're the ones that are doing pedophilia on the children. One of them said to me, his mother one day had brought his sister to a service. And the priest said, don't ever bring her here again, because you know, she might end up getting abused. So that is very critically to understand about the mindset of some of these men in Haiti, because then when the international community comes, they sort of even expect it, that that's what they want from them.
So do people go there as tourists, or men go there from around the world looking for the sex with minors? Is it easy to get that set up?
That's right. That's right. Yes, it is. My first case was Douglas Prelitz. He was at the Jesuit University of Fairfield University in Connecticut. He had been raping and molesting Haitian children at a project in the north called Project Pierre Toussaint. There was about 300 Haitian boys in that space. The way that Douglas Prelitz got to Haiti will give you a clue as to what's going on with that. He claims when he finally, and I learned about that case in 2005, he wasn't sentenced to, he is now serving a 20-year sentence in Connecticut, in federal prison, for molesting and abusing these boys, nearly 20. So he said essentially that he was brought to Haiti by a delegation of the chaplain from Fairfield University. The chaplain's name is Father Paul Currier. They have in Haiti these things called like parish twining programs, where different parishes twine with different spaces in Haiti, and they have guest houses. all kinds of things happens in these spaces, okay? I can just say my experience. So my experience is with what I learned from the Douglas Perlis case. The boys, you know, he in exchange for giving these boys like food, blankets, and pillows, he required them to do certain acts, and he taught them those acts. If your audience go on any of these internet sites, this guy actually had a fetish for black children. So in the pleadings that the prosecutor, in the pleadings, the prosecutor listed the sites that they found on his computer, stuff like gay black boys, Caribbean, da 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 da, all kinds of things like that, that you would never, I mean, this stuff is so nasty. It blows my mind. I'm going to have to wash myself after having this conversation. But this is what they do to the most vulnerable people on the planet. I had the honor of representing those boys at Douglas Perlis, and I'm going to put on my website, if I in the next couple of days, the actual statement that I made in court in New Haven when we went after Douglas Perlis. But what's really important in a connection to the Clintons and other people in this kind of stuff is that there's a picture out there where the Paul Farmer, who was UN deputy envoy to Haiti under Bill Clinton, you know, is giving the thumbs up to Douglas Perlis, this pedophile. They all stick together. I had no clue that these white people were doing this kind of thing.
Now, could you prove that the Clintons were related to this child trafficking case?
I can't prove that. I can prove that they're associated with Paul Farmer. Bill Clinton was UN envoy to Haiti. Paul Farmer was deputy UN, and he was chosen by Bill Clinton to be his wingman. Also, Hillary Clinton had nominated Paul Farmer as the mission to be the mission director. He didn't make it, and I'm told the reason that he was withdrawn was because of certain things that are in his background. I was told that by some very knowledgeable intelligence person. What we are told, and I can't prove it, is that there is a hospital that was built in the north by Paul Farmer. He is the head of something called Partners in Health. And everybody kind of lionized this person because he's written these books that makes him very, very, looks like he's very progressive. And he may have started out progressive at a certain point, but he's definitely part of the war party. He's definitely part of the neoliberal party. He's definitely part of the pathology of power in Haiti. He, like I said, he was hanging around with this pedophile. They know more than I did. I didn't know these white men, okay? I'll tell you what happened to me. When I was representing Haitians who were being killed by the coup d'etat people, this guy who now is the head of, his name is Brian Concannon, who's the head of IJDH, Institute for Justice for Democracy. And on his board is Paul Farmer. Remember I told you Paul Farmer was the deputy UN envoy under Bill Clinton. He's also the guy that owns the big hospital. They built a hospital, not where the earthquake was, but in Hinch, in Mirbalet. That's Paul Farmer's hospital. And there's allegations, you know, I'm not making these allegations, but people like George Webb has says that there is trafficking going on there in terms of organ trafficking. So it's like, but I do know, what I know for sure is the connection between Paul Farmer, Douglas Perlis, Fairfield University, Brian Concannon, and there's another from, I won't name him because he's in Philadelphia. These lawyers who say that they're representing Haitian interests and they're representing the left the Lavalas, the Aristide. When I walked into that space, I did not know this stuff was happening, that they were hurting children. And then they would tell me, when I said to the Haitian men, for instance, who were activists, I said, this guy is going on a delegation and he's sleeping with little 14 and 15 year old girls because he is paying for their education. Like they, you know, these, a lot of these activists would go to Haiti and they would sleep with these 14, 18 year old girls while they telling everybody that they're for social justice. You know, how are these little girls going to say no when they need an education? And these activists are doing it. Well, this is the reason why none of them talk to me. And this is the reason my name is like mud, because I said, I don't care if you're mammal, mineral, plant, or vegetable. You hurt a child. And I don't care if that child is on the Republican side or Democratic side, Lavala side, whatever. Esli Tantos coming after you. If I can prove it, I'm going to put you in jail. I'm going to put your name out there. So I was at the beginning when I didn't know anything. I was looking at my elders who were here before me, and they were hanging around with all these guys. And I ended up understanding what was going on because one day, one of these lawyers connected to IDGH, I'm not going to mention his name, called me up and said, Ezili, you got, and this is when IDGH didn't have a platform. Today, IDGH is the guy who did the cholera case. They kicked me out of that cholera case because they can get Matt Damon and all these other people to be on their board, right? And so they can take on these big cases and get a lot of money, right? So one day, one of these guys called me because I had the Esli Network in 2004 when IDGH did not even have a platform yet. And he said, Ezili, there's a white guy in Haiti. His name is Ron Voss, and the Haitian police have put him in jail, and it's because of political purposes, because he wants democracy in Haiti. Could you please, kindly, please send out an urgent action alert? Well, because I thought we were the same people, I believe this guy. That today, I don't believe any white person that come to me in Haiti, you're guilty until I can prove you innocent. Because I had this experience.
Too bad. But I understand, and I think our listeners need to understand. That's why I like to listen and let you speak. They need to understand where you're coming from and what you've gone through of why people are scared of white people. You know, it is what it is, and I can understand it. But keep going.
I'm telling you. So I did not know that Ron Voss was a former police out of India who was a pedophile. And I sent out, because they asked me to, and I believe these guys, I sent out an urgent action alert saying, hey, listen, give this guy due process. I mean, maybe if they had told me, you know, I wouldn't have touched it. I'm so sorry. And to this day, okay, if you put my colonial name and put Ron Voss, you say, they'll tell you, Esli Dantos supporting this pedophile. It's still out there.
And it's so wrong. They're doing that just to take you down. Now,
I asked those guys to tell people I didn't know anything about this guy. To this, they never did.
Now, can I ask you, the person that you took to court who was an obvious pedophile that you guys nailed, and he got the full punishment by law, he ended up not going to prison. How did he get off?
No. He did go to prison. Douglas
okay.
They'd go to, that was, that, there is another, there's others that have not gone to prison. That,
see, so he did. There's Very others good. That, okay.
Oh yeah, he did. Good. He okay. did. But this is the thing, okay? What I was able to do, and I'll tell you why he went to prison. And this is really important. If you go out there, you'll see a picture of, and I want to say their name, Komakota. They're out of Brooklyn. I live in Connecticut, and I have an office in Connecticut as well as New York. And then I have, you know, my projects in Haiti. I try to get to go to the Haitian community, to go to the Haitian Catholic community to say, please come with me. I'm in court trying to help, to, you know, because obviously, you know, it's the prosecutor that does all the work. But I wanted to stand and say that there are Haitians who care about their children, right? So, and we had run a letter writing campaign to the judge, Judge Auditon, asking her not to give him bail because he has so much money from the Catholic, wealthy Catholics in Fairfield County that they filled his side of the courtroom. So after I kept going by myself, I did a letter writing campaign. And it I could not get many people, Haitians from Connecticut to come, but Brooklyn Haitians are much more politicized. They took a bus and they came with like signs that says, you know, Douglas Prelitz is a pedophile, this, and that. Okay. And we could see us doing that. I think it's because of that activism that he ended up pleading guilty because he had such big friends. Like I said, you know, the folks from the diocese, from Fairfield, you know, Bridgeport Diocese, the rich guys in Fairfield County, the cap, they said he was a saint, that my children were lying. And this is a guy who trained children how to do porno and how to service. A lot of them today are servicing gays and other people who come for tourism in Haiti. He got that 19 years for, you know, violating the tourism statute in America that says you can't go overseas to have illicit sex with minors. So that was the statute. But when we tried to get him arrested in Haiti, he ran into the Dominican Republic and he was always able to pay people. You could, you know, you pay $10,000 to a Haitian police or whatever, you can get out. That's kind of that impunity we're dealing with. But Douglas Prelitz is now in prison and he is our, you know, one of our successes. But it was hard to do. Part of the reason why he ended up guilty, because after this, you know, some white guy that I had met in New Haven courthouse came to me, he says, I was molested when I was a child. What can I do? I drove all the way from Maine to come and see this. I said, well, you can help me with the children, with the boys, because the school is closed now and they're like homeless. Because I had intended, because we had spent 6 years in that case, to take the civil case. When he pleaded guilty, there are deep pockets like Fairfield University who had their chaplain raising money for him to do the orphanage. That's how the orphanages work in Haiti, right? They have people who do a funding arm in America, and then there's someone in Haiti running the orphanages. So the funding arm was a Haiti fund that was run out of the Fairfield University by the lover of Douglas Prelitz. The lover of Douglas Prelitz was Father Paul Currier. When Douglas Prelitz finally admitted that he was guilty, he said that when he was 17 or 18, I can't remember what age, it's in the pleadings, you guys can verify, he started a relationship with the chaplain. This is like an older man taking advantage of a student at Fairfield University. And then for the 10 years he was in Haiti, the father from Fairfield University would fly every month to visit his lover in Haiti. And of course, he's saying he didn't know this guy was molesting these children. Father Currier has not been charged. He is very well connected. So that's how it looks, right? You have these guest houses, you have these twining parishes, and that's what Ron Voss was. He was the head of this guest house, and he had this, you know, he was a former priest who had a pedophile dossier on him. I don't know if he has one in Haiti, but I ended up, you know, with this thing here. And it was because of these white folks who are part of this whole thing, who never shared that information. I'll give you another thing. Okay. Cause I know, a lot of your audience know this Podesta email things and Pedogate. I didn't know how deep this thing was. There's a guy named Tom Reeves. He's an activist in Haiti. As a matter of fact, he gave Aristide, when Aristide was in exile, he brought Aristide to his university to speak. Okay, so that's how I kind of knew about him. I didn't know who he was. Okay, well, imagine my surprise. Okay, to find out that he was the founder or head of the Man Boy Love Network of I don't know, New England or something like that. New England Man Love Network. So he was head of a group who believes that pedophilia should be made legal.
And how does he connect to Podesta?
Well, in the Podesta emails, you see that the that's where they talk about spirit cooking. They talk about the all these other things. Like you see pictures of children in the Podesta brothers' space, and they don't look very, you know, like what are those children doing? You know, with the Podesta emails, that's how we found out about the Pizzagate stuff. Yep. Remember?
So how does that guy that's ahead of the Love Boy Network connect to Podesta? Besides Podesta having artwork on his wall,
right? Okay, so everybody knows that Podesta was a campaign manager for Hillary Clinton. Everybody knows that we connected Hillary Clinton and Uma Abedin to Laura Silsby, who had taken out, like, you know, kidnapped 33 Haitian children during the earthquake. Okay, so when I read the Podesta emails, for instance, that's when I realized that the person that Hillary Clinton was connecting to in terms of Haiti was no longer Cheryl Mills. It was Uma Abedin. And you know, Uma Abedin's husband is an admitted pedophile. So I started wondering, why would it be Uma Abedin and not Cheryl Mills that's forwarding Silsby's emails to Hillary Clinton? It just didn't make sense to me, because in Haiti, Hillary Clinton's administrative assistant was Cheryl Mills in Haiti. So Haiti was where Laura Silsby was accused and caught red-handed with 33 children, okay? That was in 2010. When that happened, I just thought that Mrs. Clinton was just doing her job as Secretary of State. It wasn't until the Podesta emails that I found out there had been correspondence going back and forth of who Laura Silsby was since 2001. Mm. Like, I didn't know that. When it happened in 2010 and she helped him, I just thought it was, you know, Secretary of State helping anybody because she had gotten in trouble. And that's their job. I didn't know they knew each other, and I didn't know that the person who was the intermediary between Laura Silsby and Clinton was Uma Abedin. And you know, with the Podesta emails and all of that, you see that, you know, well, we know, for instance, that's how we got a lot of the emails, was because they were on Anthony Weiner's
laptop. Yeah.
Space. Laptop. Okay. So it's all those connections. I'm like, what's going on? Are my children somewhere with the Muslim Brotherhood? Did they fly them out? You know, those folks, you know, are all into little boys, have been doing it for 1,200 years with the Arab slave trade. I'm like, that connection to Uma Abedin brought in a whole other level of awareness for me. But the reason I connect, I'm saying this about the man boy love connection of Tom Reeve. I mean, he passed away and died in 2012. But I noticed when he passed away and died in 2012, who he was saying send donations to. And the group Hearts with Haiti that he was asking to send donation to, the guy has been accused of pedophilia. So I'm just making all these connections. I can't say that I know for sure that Tom Reeve was molesting people, but when Tom Reeve is saying to you, and he was the professor at the Black Boys Roxbury College, which is in the middle of the Black community, and these people seem to have a fetish for Black children, and they're coming to Haiti, There's just connections that I'm making that I had never made before. And so I just connect. The reason I connect man, boy, love, network is because I never knew this thing existed, number one. Number two, it wasn't until the Podesta emails that I started seeing the symbols of it, which was a little pyramid with another pyramid. Mm-hmm. I learned that from the Podesta emails. And so then I started looking for all Haitian NGOs that might have that, because it is their code.
Yeah, so are there NGOs that have that code in it?
Yes, there are. Well,
how many did you find with that child trafficking code?
I have some of the ones that we found on the internet somewhere. I don't want to say their names and be wrong, but
there's a number of them.
Yes.
So now
if
the Justice Department or somebody serious in the United States wanted to start cracking down on going after this, there's enough evidence for them to really make a dent and start cleaning this stuff up. There's evidence everywhere.
There's evidence everywhere. But listen, evil is running the world right now, Sarah. I have to give you this because I think you were here when this thing happened, right? Because we've been talking for the last couple of weeks. Back in February 2017, Sarah, a group called Operation Underground Railroad said that they had rescued 30 Haitian children from like 9 or 12 traffickers, depending on which newspaper you read. Okay, and this was at Calico Beach in Haiti. And Calico Beach is run by another family called the Perrettes, and Michel Martelly gave them a petroleum license. Now, you might know for some of the research of how the pipeline of human trafficking works, right? It's a lot of these military contractors. You know from Kosovo about DynCorp. You know that there's a lot of mercenaries now working for the United States that are working for the U.S. government that are accused of some of this stuff, okay? And you know that the U.S. military, for instance, have been accused of sex trafficking. Right next to us, we have Guantanamo Bay in Haiti. Owned by the United States. And I know for a fact that sometimes they bring, you know, children and prostitutes in that space. Right on that border where Calico Beach thing happened, Operation Underground Railroad announced that it made this big bust. And what's really interesting to me about them is that all of a sudden they're coming out of nowhere saying they made this big bust, that they had set up these traffickers, and that they saved 30 children. There were 30 girls in one room. The girls had been, some of them had been sexually abused already. Some of them, they had been, what do you call that? They were drugging them. And apparently, okay. So when that news came out, I didn't know these people. But I was following it. And within a month of that news coming out, all the traffickers were released by the Haitian government. All of them
were released?
Released. Okay. So there were 12 traffickers. 9 of them were apparently Haitian nationals and the other ones were not. They first released I don't know who the foreigners are. They could have been UN. You know, UN have immunity. If they take them, they'll release them right away because of the immunity. So I don't know who those foreigners were, but there were 12 traffickers, okay? If you go and you look up Calico Beach, February or 2017, okay? But today, I'm going to tell you how heinous these fake white saviors are. On July 23rd, Now I'm following this, okay? And I just put this on my website. I said, here's an example of, you know, child slave trade, and here's how these people were arrested. They actually arrested the children and kept us children in jail more than they did with the traffickers. So that means these traffickers are well connected. Who are they connected to? And we have no impunity. And the rule of law that I had came in to bring into Haiti is nowhere.
Is this why the Clintons are so protected? Because the crimes and the crimes that are going on in our government, the stealing of trillions of dollars, of the huge black budgets. I mean, we know that there's just crimes galore. And nobody can do anything, it seems to me. I mean, they can. We need leaders. We need courage. It takes a lot of courage. That's why we discussed it the first time, or the first half of this episode, where so many people have been killed, because it takes courage and it takes real leadership. But they're being protected. And is that what it is? Is Clinton surrounded by this big protection network because they're all a bunch of criminals at the top? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. That is what's going on. I think you're right. I think what you have to understand is this is how they operate. It's just that the Clintons had so much contempt for the people that they didn't do it covertly. They just did it right in our faces.
Well, they don't even try to hide stuff anymore. That's what's so creepy. Is people are not trying.
That's
to,
it.
They don't have to. And
it used to be, but let me tell you what's not hidden, okay? And I want your audience to go find this out, okay? So here, Operation Uphold Underground Railroad, Tim Ballard, they say they have all these former CIA agents, former intelligence people, former military, and they're raising money to help rescue Charles from the slave trade. That's what they said, okay? And it's like, this is what the mainstream media does and what the NGOs do. They'll pick the most heinous thing that's going to get everybody emotionally involved, and then they'll come and raise money on it. Let me give you an example, because this just happened. Now, on July 23rd, this thing came out, and it said 30 traffickers from Haiti, 30 children from Haiti rescued. And I'm thinking, I hope this is new. I thought it was new. Okay? And I go on the website, it says you can't see what's going on because this is only released to Australia. And it's the same Operation Uphold Railroad. They've gone to raise money in Australia, and they're saying that they have, as if it just happened. It had happened 5 months before.
Okay, so no, it's just a big farce and big clown act. It's just a carnival. So now how can people, there's a lot of people that want to help. How can people make sure that their money, their time, their whatever resources they have goes towards organizations that they can trust that'll actually get to the Haitian people and make a difference? That's what people want to know. Do you have that information so that people can trust that their money is going to make a difference, and it's not just going into a big black hole, or worse, it's going to go fund some kind of child rapist and their carnival?
This underground railroad people that have taken one news and released it twice as if it happened twice, and then they're saying this thing about how they've rescued 700 children. Well, and they put 300 traffickers in jail. Well, does that mean that, how about those traffickers back in, Are they counting those 12 that were released?
So how can people help? Is that something that you're doing? Is pulling resources of legitimate to give to legitimate areas? I know you're doing stuff, so maybe giving it to your causes. I mean, the goal is to make sure that this money and these resources go to places that actually help the Haitian people and not be given to to help the criminals.
Yeah. I just don't think. I think first of all, it should be it should be some organization that's doing Haitian relief with dignity and human rights, and they're transferring skills. They're not reproducing technical experts in Haiti forever.
Well, so now
So
can you do a little thing, and I'll do it as a resource for people on, or maybe you already have it on your website, what they should look for when donating money to Haiti.
I don't think they should donate money to
No
Haiti.
money?
I think they should. No, I think if Americans really, I mean, and that's kind
Well,
of.
aren't you trying to raise money?
This is what I'm saying. I'm raising money, but the thing is, right? And definitely need resources and so forth. Okay, but I'm just saying, like these big NGOs, like Catholic Relief Services, Red Cross, you know, don't give them your money. If you're gonna give money to a Haiti-led, Haiti capacity-building organization, like what
That's
we do.
what I'm looking
Okay,
for.
but
That's exactly. So now
okay,
how do they know?
I
I mean,
mean,
obviously they should give to you, but
that's right. Give money to Zili Dlo, give money to a Haitian organization that's on the ground, that's actually helping these child victims of sexual abuse of the UN, or, you know, I mean, we need resources. So I'm not going to tell anybody, okay? I've been here for 30 years. If you want to give money and that's what you want to do, because I think there's other things you can do. But if you do have resources, we do need
What
the
are those other
resources.
things?
Okay, this is what you can do, all right? Number one, okay? This is the very number one thing you have to understand. None of the billions of dollars that they say go to Haiti, go to Haiti. The most important money to Haiti is the $2 billion that comes from the Haitian diaspora. Do you know that under Bill Clinton and Obama, they are taxing the Haitian diaspora? So they're not just taking $10 billion and $13 billion coming out of earthquake aid. Under Obama and Bill and Mrs. Clinton, $2 billion that goes from our remittances. That means the money we give to our family directly. The money I send directly from, let's say I put in Western Union, they started taxing it. So every remittance that you send to Haiti right now, they're taxing at 150. Every phone calls you make, in addition to us being the highest phone rates in Haiti, Digicel, which is the crony of Mrs. Clinton and Bill Clinton, they gave billionaire Dennis O'Brien the phone monopoly in Haiti. They control the phones. If I call Haiti, it goes through them. They give this extra 5 cents. So imagine 150 times 2 billion per year. They're making millions and millions off of the Haitian diaspora because they have found a way to tax us. We want you to help me, for instance. I want to sue them to kingdom come. If there are lawyers out there that want to bring a class action lawsuit against Western Union and Digicel for taking this money, okay, from American citizens and Haitians living abroad and not accounting to taxation without representation, I want those lawyers to give me a call. If there are lawyers, people out here who want to come and help us with the delivery of water, help us like fundraise and with what I have already out there so that we can increase the delivery to folks, you know, come and help us with that. If someone tells you next time that aid to Haiti is being corrupt or Haitians are taking it, tell them that less than 1 cent. So if it's it's $1 billion, whatever, if it's $100 or whatever, it's less than 1 cent of every dollar goes to Haiti. So 99% of that corruption is American corruption. And what you need to do, Americans need to go and change their politicians. Ask for transparency. Lift American Booth off of our neck and we'll do the rest. Haitians, I mean, I can clean up the Haitian justice system tomorrow if the DEA wasn't protecting drug dealers in Haiti. If they were not protecting a money launderer and putting him in prison right now putting him as president right now, even though he's an accused money launderer. They know it. If America could stop training ISIS folks, terror folks like FROP and Guy Philippe in Haiti, if America could stop DEA from bringing in these drugs into the black community, then we could have less violence in America, less violence in Haiti, and folks like me could clean up the judicial system in Haiti. Because 90% of us in Haiti stand for democracy and stand for ethics. It is that 10% that they take, they pay, and who are sick people. A lot of them are abused. A lot of them don't like that guy Klaus that was just killed, right? He was going to go in front of not the Hillary Clinton, I mean, not to say something negative about Hillary Clinton. He was supposed to go in front of Parliament because while he was the head of the organization he was in, $2 billion of Petrol Caraib money, which is the oil money that Haiti has subsidized by Venezuela, was squandered. And he was supposed to go in front of Parliament to talk about what happened to that money. And somehow he ended up dead. But these guys are the protégés of these U.S. corrupt deep state folks. We're talking about, I'm not talking about Americans. I'm talking about the people that run the American government, Wall Street, the international financial associations, the agricultural business, big agra, big pharma, military industrial complex, that intelligence complex. They run the politicians. They blackmail the politicians just like they do in Haiti. Americans must understand that. And then let's stand with you and me, people to people, and say, this is not the world we want to stand for.
So how can people get a hold of you? What is your website and what is the best place to reach you?
I'm everywhere on Facebook. It might take me a while to get to you, but I try. You can also reach, go on our, I like to start doing what you're doing right now to start speaking to people, build up our YouTube channel. Go see the interviews on our YouTube channel, support the work that I'm doing so that I can get a bigger platform. I can get more people to understand what's going on. Cause I do think their time has come to an end. This deep state that's destroyed the planet, that wants, like Memorandum 200 to depopulate, like Kissinger's memorandum, that has given like cervical cancers is like an epidemic to Haitian women, that is giving like, I think it's like 5.8 million Haitians are getting tetanus shots. I mean, they've gone medieval on us now. It's like totally on us medieval.
Now. So there's so much more information that you could share with people. And you have all that on your YouTube channel. You're getting that out. You're getting that on your website. And I'll have the link up here so people can see it, and also on the show page so people will be able to figure out how to get to you. But, I really appreciate the work that you're doing. And I think it's really important that people really start waking up on how bad some of this stuff is, and in our name, with our money, and it's not okay.
It's not okay. And we are going to get rid of these people and bring humanity back to this planet. And we're going to do it together. So I do appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come and speak to everyone. Thank you
very much. Have a wonderful day.
That's all we have for today. I hope you had a chance to listen to part one, which you can get on my website at sarahwestell.com. This was a really intense series on Haiti. There's a lot to learn about what's going on there. She has a lot more that you can get to if you go to ezilidanto.com, ezilidanto.com. And if you're liking the content that I'm producing, please go to my Patreon account and support the projects. It's Sarah Westall under patreon.com. So now I want to tell everybody to have an amazing day.